And I tell you, I remember that day. I was in my parents' house. I was just a young boy. I was about to head off to school, and we were having lunch before we went off. I'm from West Virginia. We only go to school half a day, one day a week, and then after the first grade, we're done. So, good place to be. But there I was. I was at my parents' table, and it was me and my mom. So we bowed our heads to pray and thank the Lord for the godly family that I had. And as we bowed our heads to pray, we said the same thing we always do. Thank the Lord for our food. Lord, bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. And my mom said, in Jesus' name, amen. And I remember lifting up my head. I remember that day. And it started to click. All those times I heard my Sunday school teacher talk about how Jesus spread His arms on Calvary and bled and died for the sins of the world. And one day, it clicked. And I realized that for all have sinned, include me. And on that day, it clicked and I understood that I'd never received Christ as my Savior. And I looked at my mom, and I'm sure it surprised her, and I said, Mom, how do I accept Jesus? And she smiled and she opened her Bible and she said, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and Jared, that whosoever means you. And on that day, I realized that whosoever, which meant me, could believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, I was translated from death unto life, from darkness unto light, from a temporary, miserable, wicked life on this earth to an everlasting kingdom that's owned by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I remember that day, and I will never, ever, ever, ever forget it. You're not too young for salvation, young people. I was 5 years old, and I remember it like it's yesterday. And I know you're looking up here and say, well, you're not much older than that now. What are you, 15, 16? I'm 31 years old, and I thank the Lord for the testimony, the life that God has given me in Jesus Christ. Take the Word of God, if you would, with me, please, and turn to the book of John, chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. I appreciate the testimony of these missionaries. If you were to choose one man in this building that is the least worthy to be behind this pulpit, you would find me. And yet I'm standing up here. I don't have a testimony like some of these men, and I don't have the danger that some of these men have, and I don't have the karate skills that somebody. I don't know. I've got a motto for your church: bringing people to Jesus one way or the other. You put it on the front. Put it on the front. I think it'd be a good. I'm just saying, good idea. So here we go in the book of John, chapter number 12. I find the chapter just absolutely incredible. We read the prophecies about Jesus Christ, how He's despised and rejected, how He came into His own received Him not. And we typically view the life of Christ as one of rejection by the majority, but yet some multitudes would still follow. But as He enters into John chapter 12, that is not the case. If you would allow me the liberty of saying, He is the most popular man in Jerusalem right now. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and I don't know about you, but if I found out that someone raised someone else from the dead, I'd be going to see them, and that was certainly the case. He had raised Lazarus from the dead, and as He has now just entered into Jerusalem, not as a beggar, not as a man that's despised, not as a man that's rejected, but He's entering in triumph. And the people are excited. The city is buzzing with anticipation about the arrival of this man. And multitudes are there to greet Him, saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed be the King, the Son of David! And this anticipation has built to a point that the Pharisees in chapter number 12 have said that, behold, the whole world has gone after Him. And all that were true today. And as I look across the ceiling of this auditorium, I see these flags. And so many of them I have been to myself. And I know the desperate need of the gospel. The men that are laboring here, sometimes I'm sure you feel all alone because in your nation, it is not as if the whole world after Jesus Christ. It seems as if the whole world is coming after your demise. But oh, that that were true today, what the Pharisees said back then, that the whole world were coming after Him. In fact, it wasn't just the Jews, it was also the Greeks. As we look further down into this passage, we see these Greeks, and they come running towards the men of God. And in verse number 20 we read, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, and here is this incredible missions statement, sir, we would see Jesus. They were desiring Him. And in this moment in His life, He had everyone's attention. Young people, wouldn't you like to have everyone's attention just for a moment? That you might share who you are. That you would, in a sense, be the most popular kid in class. Or preachers, if you could just have the whole world's attention just for a moment. And here it is in Jesus' ministry, when everyone is looking to Him. No miracles have to be performed at this point, for everyone is hanging on what He might say. And in this moment, we come to verse number 26. And He addresses the people and says this. He says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Father, I pray that You would bless the time that we have here this afternoon. Lord, bless these words, and I pray that You would speak to our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like to speak to you on this topic here this morning. With just the amount of time we have remaining, I want to talk to you about the privilege of servanthood. Amen. The privilege of servanthood. We look at servanthood, we look at being a servant to someone else as a deplorable thought. As something that no one would want to be. We don't want anyone to own us or to command us. Here in America, we rally around these words, freedom of choice. Freedom of expression. I want to be my own man. I want to be my own person. No one can tell me what to do. I will be me and I will not follow anyone else. But here in the gospel we find something completely contradictory to that. In America we have a dark history many years ago, a history of slavery where one man would actually own another man. Under slavery, the slave was not the owner of his own body. He was not the owner of his own words or his own actions, but rather his master owned him. He woke up every morning only for the purpose of his master. He woke up every morning not to feed himself or his family, but rather to care for the needs of his master. And truly in our nation's history, a man owning another man is a horrible atrocity. But as we come to this passage, Jesus speaks and He says, if any man serve me. And it comes with it some distinct privileges. If any man serve me, he will have an assignment from God. Now let him follow then after me, that where I am, there shall also my servant be. And he will be there in the sight of his glorious Savior. We see that in this passage, not only will we have an assignment from God, not only will we be in sight of our Savior, but we will also see an incredible significance of that given to us from God. And I want to teach you, young people, and I want to teach you today that as we come before God, service to Him is an incredible privilege. Look at the privilege here at the beginning of the passage. He says, if any man serve me. When it comes to the assignment of a servant, I want you to know this, that it's open to all. It's open to all. It doesn't matter if you're short or if you're tall. If you're fat, if you're skinny, I know there's a couple miracles taking place here. There's a Baptist preacher that's skinny, No offense, I didn't mean to cause any offense out there to those who might not be. Perhaps you've just been more blessed than I don't know. But here it is, the assignment is one that's open to all. It doesn't matter if you're a young person or if you're more experienced in life. Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can put my yoke upon you. And here's what he's saying. You can work for me. We see these posters in America with this man with the American flag for a hat and his goatee and his bony finger pointing out, Uncle Sam wants you. And many have enlisted in his service. But I want you to say that there's one that's greater than Uncle Sam. For our God is not just an American God. Our God is God. And He wants you in His service. All are accepted. If you would just accept Him first. The assignment of a servant is open to all. But as I see this being open to all, I see that it comes with great promise and great responsibility. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And look at what he says next. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And I've talked to so many Christians who say they get discouraged and disillusioned with Christ and being a Christian because they never see Him work. And my natural response to them is to those type of individuals, I just never seen God move. I've just never seen Him do any work in anyone's life. I ask Him, I say, what are you doing for the Lord? And usually the answer is, I've got my seat in church and I always sit there and then when church is over, I always go home. And that's about it. I mean, friend, I'm here to tell you that if you enlist as a servant for Jesus Christ, you will see things that you never thought possible. I heard my pastor once say that a lady came to him kind of critical after the service and saying, well, you're a mighty fine preacher. And she was a little bit of a charismatic persuasion. You're a mighty fine preacher, but you know, if you just had some miracles around here, I believe the Lord would really bless. And he said, well, you should have been here last week. We had 5 resurrections. The lady kind of stepped back. Truly, you must be a man of God. And she said, you mean there are people that walked into the church or were brought into the church dead and then they left alive? He got a big smile on his face and he said, that's exactly right. They came in dead sinners and they walked out alive by the power of Jesus Christ. I've seen lives changed by the power of God, not because I'm anything special, but because I've decided to do exactly what He said to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Remember a day I walked into a church in Imphal, India, with Brother Scotty Drake and a missionary by the name of Paul Houtkip. And the gospel was preached, and I thought I messed something up because of the invitation. There were a whole bunch of people that came. Isn't that a problem when we think we messed up when a whole bunch of people came? There's something wrong with our churches. We should expect to see that. And on that day we saw, I believe it was over 40 souls saved in one service. 40 souls went from death into life. You want to see the hand of God move? I've seen teenagers so addicted to drugs that they had to be kicked out of their own homes and sent to rehab. But I've seen those same teenagers, God step into their life and deliver them from those addictions. I've seen miraculous works of God. Why did Moses get to see the parting of the Red Sea? Because he decided he was going to be a servant to the Most High God. Why did Joshua have the privilege of watching those walls fall from this great, strong city of Jericho? It's because he purposed with his life that he will follow God. You know, my Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Perhaps the reason we're not seeing and observing some of the same things that they observed and saw in the New Testament is because we're not serving Him with the true potential of what we could be serving Him as. And I find it interesting what was just preached, you know, a Christian being like Christ, and yet what does the Bible say in Philippians chapter number 2? It says that being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant.
The form of a servant. The form of a servant. And sometimes we get caught up so much with the pride of life that we think our life is all about us. We think our life is all about our friends, or we think our life is all about our ministries, when that's not the case at all. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not about us. It's about Him. I think we have too many Christians that are still alive. That's our problem. Too many of us are still alive. No, don't take me the wrong way here. I believe that you should be a living sacrifice, but too many Christians we're still living to ourselves instead of realizing that as a servant, it's not about us. It's not about serving ourselves. It's about serving one that is much greater than us. And as we move in service to Him, He promises us in John chapter 15, He that abideth in me and I in him, same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And if we're going to serve Him, we've got to abide with Him. We've got to dwell with Him. We've got to follow after Him. Forsaking all else, I trust Christ and move forward with faith. Oh, it's a privilege, a glorious honor to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And it's open to all. It says in the beginning of the verse, number 25, it says, if any man serve me, any man, anyone can do it, any man, any woman, any child. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And I want you to look very closely at the last part of this verse, and then I'll be through. Jesus Christ, with all of their attention, gives this promise. If any man serve me, him, the servant, him, will my Father honor. Now, I want you to think about that real careful and real close, because to be honest with you, I feel like I'm treading on holy ground with the last part of this verse. I feel like this last part of the verse are things that Jesus Christ alone can say. To think that the Father would honor a sinful, wicked, wretched man like me seems blasphemy. Save it were spoken from the very words of Jesus Christ. Him, the servant, Him will my Father honor. I can remember a day that was a very exciting yet a very difficult time in my life. I had the privilege of serving our nation in the United States Army. In 2004, I spent about 9 months in Iraq, and it was a very difficult time. The danger that was always there, the difficulty that came every single day. Never knowing what's going to happen the day. Constantly fearful. Constantly on edge. And I remember the day we finally get on that plane. We fly across the Atlantic Ocean. And we land in a place called Bangor, Maine. Now, I've been gone for a very long time. And I can remember, I'm not expecting anything. I've got my bag on my back. I still have my uniform on, it's still dusty from the desert. And I walk down this narrow corridor. And as I walk down this corridor, there's no one else there except my fellow comrades, the troops that came back with me. And we're all trying to sort out what's happened over these past several months. We come down the corridor and enter into this terminal. And all of a sudden, I turn a corner and I see a sight that I wasn't expecting to see. I see hundreds of people. Hundreds of people with signs cheering us on. Welcome home! Welcome home! Welcome home! I see people leaning over with their cell phones. Here, call your mom, call your dad, call your wife or your kids. Welcome home! Thank you so much for your service. And in that moment, I was overwhelmed. I couldn't make sense of it all. All that I knew is that they were so glad that I was home. And then I think that at the end of this battle, called life, at the end of this war,
for Christ, there's going to be one greater than all of them. And He's going to be standing and He's going to be saying, "Welcome home! Welcome home, my good and faithful servant! Welcome home!" And I can picture it as Jesus Christ greets us and He sits us down and He renders honor before the Father. And there it is, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that spoke and the heavens came into existence. He dusted the sky with stars and He set the moon and the sun in its place. You created the planet and the world and all that is in it. And He sits you down and He begins to render honor unto the servant, not placing Himself beneath you, but saying this, well done, my good and faithful servant. But there's a guardian of this truth. And it stands at the very beginning of the verse. It's a two-letter word that makes all the difference in the world. Standing there like a sentinel, guarding whether this will be a reality in your life or whether it will not. And that word is if. If. He's given us a glorious promise, but it's guarded. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. But it all circulates around this one word, if. If, I want to ask you this morning, and maybe it's almost a silly question, here are so many that have dedicated them their lives to serving Christ, but maybe there's some among us who are still not sure about what they're going to do with their life. Young people, perhaps it's you. Will you serve God or will you serve yourself? Those are really the only two choices on the table. If you want to follow Him, if you want to serve Him, if you want to see Him work in your life, if you want to see Him glory, give you honor there at the end when the battle is done, what matters not is what you have done with your own life to please yourself, but what only matters is whether you have chosen to serve Him. I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you with this verse this morning. For if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around, I want to ask a question. Perhaps there's a young person in this room who's, you know, God's been speaking to you, but you've been struggling with it. You haven't surrendered to it. You haven't.